Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First though, Richard Shakespeare, CEO of Dublin City Council. Good morning to you.
Morning, Claire.
Lovely to have you with us here this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Remember the last time, we were just talking about the last time you were here in November. It was the morning after the Dublin riots, and I think everybody was in shock in that morning, and you were saying to me you were fundamentally depressed by what you'd just come from. You left the streets to come in here that morning. Now you're in the papers this week saying that there just aren't enough Gardaí on the streets of Dublin city centre. I mean, what issues are you seeing as someone who heads up the city and is there, you know, trying to monitor things, watch things, run things on a day-to-day basis?
Well, I suppose it was in the context of a much broader interview with Olivia Kelly in the Irish Times. But I do think from my perspective and that of some of my senior staff, I mean, we work very closely with the guards across a whole range of areas throughout the city. And it should be no surprise that I think the view that we would hold is that there aren't enough guards on the street. You saw it at Christmas and the impact that had, and it got people back out very, very quickly.
That's when we had the Minister for Justice putting in place all of that extra money for overtime.
And in fairness, I think they're on that journey. There was 101 guards deployed onto the streets of Dublin this week. But I do think there needs to be more. And when you look at sort of some of the data, say the sentiment data provided by the likes of Dublin Town, where the safety sentiment piece is still down. And I mean, part of my thing is that the safety element of it, the City Council has a role to play in terms of how the city is presented on a daily basis. And that's everything from litter to vacancy to dereliction to the footpaths, the lights. And I do think, and when you listen to the rank and file say that they're down, but it's not really a matter for me. All I can do is sort of call it as I see it.
Yes, and that is what you see. And so you would have seen the difference that it made over Christmas when that overtime position was there.
Absolutely.
And it did make a difference.
It did. And I think the Lord Mayor, Dáithí Do Raochta, was very quick out saying that about, I stole one of his lines, you can't police a capital city on overtime. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a reasonably accurate and fair assessment. But I think it's getting better. I think the recruitment is going well, but it really is a matter for the Minister for Justice and the Garda Commissioner.
But are you saying that it makes it difficult for you to do your job successfully when it comes to how people feel about the city centre if that isn't there, if the Garda presence isn't there?
Well, this was one of the things that I think we learned out of November 23rd and the collective reaction was that if we all understand each other's position and where we're coming from, I think it helps us all. So, I mean, we established a city coordination office to ensure, reasonably senior level of engagement across the board throughout the city, be it with the Chamber of Commerce, Dublin Town, the various government departments, because we all impact on the city in different ways. And sometimes we stay in our own lane and don't think of the impact that we can have on other people's areas of operation. Mm-hmm. So I do think a collective operation, not just from the state agencies, but from, the wider community. And part of my role is to try to energise that community into, the say the littering piece, which is very topical and always will be. We all have a role to play.
Mm-hmm.
You
mentioned litter there. That's something that I do want to talk to you about. And people are very concerned about that. The Irish Business Against Litter survey, which people will know. Dublin North Inner City at the bottom of the list. 40th. What's going on there?
I think what you have is that there are many issues that feed into it. It's not just people dropping litter on the ground. It is poor presentation of litter.
What does that mean?
Well, the black bags, okay, and the black bags are very vulnerable to our good friend the seagull. And so what happens is that when they get when the bags get attacked, it can take sort of half a minute, and a street that was perfectly clean before that looks in bits. And I don't have the staff resources to actually have somebody standing on street corners. So we did a pilot during over the last year on South William Street. And this was sort of a bin bag, which we're hoping to roll out across the city with the help of the waste management industry.
A sturdier bin bag.
It's basically a carry board that folds into a rectangle, you know, a cube, really. And you place the bag in it, because there are certain areas in the city where the wheelie bins just don't work. You know what I mean? That they'd be quite large. People don't have space to have the wheelie bins, so they're allowed to use the black bag. And so we're working. So it is that. But I do think as a city council, in terms of what we can control, I mean, we did identify this as an issue and we're increasing our staff resources by 20%. So we'll now have, as opposed to roughly 500, we'll have about 600 in certain areas working 24 hours a day. And in the sort of the outer areas and business areas, sort of 8 hours a day.
OK, so the service isn't in any way reduced in the north inner city, is it? I mean, why is that at the very bottom of the list? Is there a particular reason?
Yeah, listen, you could probably go back and look at, you know, people having to pay for the disposal of waste and that where it was, you know, you might say a traditional function. And the elected members of Dublin City Council are currently reviewing that whole area around waste collection and should it be part of, you might say, your property tax or what you get for, what you pay for what you get.
No additional charge.
Well, that remains to be seen.
Yeah.
Because
do you think that would help, though, if people weren't asked to pay extra for it?
I don't know. Claire, I honestly don't know. I think it can be throughout, and different parts of the city, you know, litter is an issue. And I think I just saw in the paper this morning, South Dublin are having issues with illegal dumping. And so there is an element that goes on. And so from that perspective, I think, again, it is that community pride and pride in your patch as such. And that's one of the roles we can play in terms of advocating on behalf of a cleaner city, that it's not just, you know, it's not just the city council's job. It's all of our jobs. And, you know, I get a bus into town every day. I get off at different stops. I walk through across to the civic offices, either from the north side or the south side. And the one thing that really strikes me is some of the casual littering. And it's largely cigarette butts and chewing gum, stuff like that. And, you know, the cigarette butts tend to be outside pubs, tend to be outside restaurants. When I was a lounge boy many, many moons ago, one of the jobs was you swept inside and outside the premises before you.
So you're saying the businesses should take more responsibility for cleaning up outside?
But I do think, and there are a lot of them do. In fairness, there are an awful lot of them do, will be out mopping it.
But you want to see more of it as well.
You'd like to see more of it. And it's not a big stick piece, but I do think it's about pride in our city.
Yeah.
And pride, we all own it. It's all of our problem.
Listen, I'm glad you mentioned pubs, because another decision that is being taken at the moment, which is going to have a big effect on you, is the late night licensing issue, where we could see pubs and clubs open until 6 a.m. And of course, Dublin City is the place, really, if that legislation goes ahead, you're going to see the vast majority of places staying open later. Are you comfortable with that?
I think it's part of a modern capital city. I do think it will present challenges. And I mean, in fairness, Minister Martin brought together a high-level working group with all the relevant state agencies, be it the local authorities, the HSE, the Department of Transport. And there are going to be issues, you know, there.
What will the issues be for you?
Well, I think, OK, from my perspective, it'll mean we'll have to ramp up the cleansing at that sort of pivotal period. And, you know, but I'd like to, I mean, from my perspective, it's really about the evening and nighttime economy. To have a functioning capital city, and this is where we need more things open that aren't alcohol related. I like a pint, but I do think, like, the museums, the theatres, you know, you try to stretch it out so I can bring my kids in or my grandkids in to do something. And so from that perspective, but I do think the transport system will be challenged. You know, the HSE, the ambulance service, all of these areas, you know, you drag it out to 6 o'clock in the morning. And it's nothing that doesn't happen in any other capital city.
But are you concerned about it happening here? Because we don't have those structures in place.
I'm not overly concerned, but what we're doing at the moment is, you're probably aware that we recently recruited a nighttime economy advisor, and this is part of the pilot project that the minister established. And we have a fellow called Ray O'Donoghue, who is going to be engaging with all the businesses, all the various actors, to see how we can best deliver a vibrant nighttime economy.
Mm-hmm. So in favour of it, but would you prefer to see the rollout slowed somewhat?
I think you can, you know, sometimes you're better off, you know, excising the wound and just see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
When you overly control it, I think it'll lose its dynamism. But I do think we need to be fully aware what the potential impacts can be. And that'll be scoped out by the Nighttime Economy Advisor with all the relevant agencies.
On antisocial behaviour in the city, we have seen some lanes. Harbour Court is one of them, which is closed now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
No access there. I mean, is that the best way to tackle those issues, just to shut something down?
No, I don't. I don't believe it. But there are certain laneways. I mean, the successful laneways are ones where people trade onto. And there is, you know, business being conducted, and there's footfall, regular footfall. An awful lot of these laneways are back alleys. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But
you can't force that. You can't force somebody to open their business door onto one of these lanes.
And I do think if, you know, we can try to present them better, light them better, you know, and we've done that in other parts, and we are looking at them right across the city. In terms of what can we do other than close them. You know, it's to look at the you can look at them as an opportunity or a threat.
So something like Harbour Court, which is closed now, is that a lost cause? Or are you looking at lighting that, changing how it looks, changing how it feels?
I think we need to, in fairness, Claire, we need to talk to the businesses that were being directly affected
then,
and see, is there a different way forward? I would say that will be closed into the medium term, but I think we'd be far more reluctant to be closing anything else unless there is widespread support for its closure.
Okay, you would be opposed to that.
Yeah, I think it's a very blunt instrument.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the other big issues, and you've touched on this, is transport. There's been a lot of coverage of the Dublin City Centre transport plan, lots of elements to that. One of the big things about that plan, though, is this intention to stop traffic from driving through the city. And we have businesses saying that that will bring a drop in footfall, because they would claim that the public transport isn't there really yet to facilitate the plan. Where do you stand on it?
Okay, well, I suppose I go back to 2016 and the 2016 City Development Plan, which called this out. And it was an objective of the City Development Plan, and that carried through into the newly adopted City Development Plan. And, you know, we did all sign up to a commitment to have the traffic reduced by 40% by 2028.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to start walking the talk. And
but Eamon Ryan is curtailing that because he wants this in place by August of this year.
Well, there are many more elements to it, but some of the key elements to it are the bus gates on Aston and Burkey.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is stopping the traffic that's going through it. It's a bit like everybody thought rural towns like Naas, when they were bypassed, were going to die. It gives a great opportunity for a different type of business activity.
You can still drive through those places.
Oh, you can. And you will still be able to drive through Dublin, but just not wherever you want to go as such, in terms of what might be the most direct route.
And you're in favour of this plan then?
Oh, yes. I think I'd like to see a city, in fairness, Claire, where I can walk unfettered by large numbers of cars from Grafton Street up to Parnell Street.
Mm-hmm. Are you bothered? Are you bothered about Guinness's and their worries about how they're going to get their trucks through?
Yes, and we we'll be engaging again with them. We've met them three times already, and we're looking at potential solutions to their particular issue.
Mm-hmm. Does that involve them being allowed to drive through the city centre?
Potentially, yes.
Okay.
And but at a different time of the day.
Right. So in the middle of the night?
Potentially, yes.
Mm-hmm. Are there other businesses who will be offered a solution like that too?
If needs be, Claire, you know, we do consult widely And so you put the plan out there as to what 82% of people who responded were in favour of. And that's not just people, individuals, and people say, oh, it's just the cycling lobby or it's this. No, it's across the board, when you dive into the data, across the board, people are very, very supportive of it. And, you know, the first part of the plan is to do Aston Quay and Burkey. And then there's a piece on Westland Row and Pier Street in terms of diverting traffic. So people are able to navigate easier. And it'll be uncomfortable, Claire. Because, you know, any change is. And, you know, but when you look at the long-term goal...
Who is it going to be uncomfortable for?
Well, people who drive cars to go through the city centre to go to somewhere else. And approximately 60, the modelling that was done has 60% of traffic that comes into Dublin city centre is not there to transact business. It's there to go to the other side of the city, either north or south.
What about the person who drives in to go and shop in Arnott's? What does it look like for them?
It'll be a bit more challenging. They'll still be able to do it. You know, there will be ways to get there.
So you'll have to go around in a circuitous route to get to the car parks of the shopping centre.
Going back to, there are people who drive in, but I'd say the vast majority of customers that shop in Arnott's, because, we're not going in to buy fridges and freezers and stuff like this. That
they don't need their cars.
Some people don't that drive in. Others do. So you've got to cater for it. But I think the whole city centre transportation plan, this is the one that you take it in stages. Mm-hmm. It isn't just one big fell swoop.
So you want cars out of the city centre?
I want a reduction, and I want us to meet our targets in terms of climate. That also impacts all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And this is and cars emit by far the most carbon than any other sector, and the transportation sector. And you then take it in tandem with all the bus corridors that are due to come in, and it'll be far more accessible from public transport.
The businesses then who say this is going to affect footfall, this is going to affect the trade coming to the door, how are you soothing those fears?
We're working with them. We're trying to find out other solutions to their fears. There will be a level of, discommoding people. We'll assess the impact of whatever we do.
Mm-hmm. Do you see Dublin City Centre as being more of a cultural centre, a place to socialise, to enjoy the museums that you mentioned before, rather than a shopping destination?
No, I think it can be both. You know what I mean? And I think you can come in for the shopping or the theatre and a different piece will hook you and keep you there. The whole idea is to get people to stay longer in the city centre. And if our cultural offer is right, and if the retail offer is right, I think we'll have hit a sweet spot.
Okay, let's talk about housing now, because Dublin City Council, one of the biggest providers of housing in the country. Now, there's a target, isn't there, over 10,000 homes for you to build by 2026. Are you doing that yourself with council staff, or how is that working?
No, there's a whole range of, suite of measures that we use to deliver, and that's the Part 5 units, where we take 10% of private build units. We have gone into the tenant in situ piece, which is people who've have received termination notices, that we step in to try to acquire the houses and turn them into a social or affordable unit.
So what level are you building, or are you building directly?
Well, at the moment, we don't build a whole lot directly.
Do you expect that to change?
Yes. And where we are, our direct delivery is probably one of our weakest streams. So one of the things that I've done, and I'm in the process of doing, is to reorganise and refocus the housing department. The housing and community services does housing, homeless, community services, the five area management offices. They look after all of that. And I want to strip out the area management piece and some of the adaptive reuse bits, and just have them focused on housing and homelessness and our direct delivery. And a lot of it is geography within the building. strange as it may seem, mm-hmm. is just to put the teams together, you know, physically together to work on them.
So and will you be hiring more builders?
No, I think the construction industry and construction technology has gone, has been very, you know, it really has with all your energy rating and all the, you say, the building standards. It's not like it was back in the 70s where you had a, you know, a ganzi load of bricklayers and carpenters and all of that. I don't think that...
So direct delivery means contracting work out.
We'll be contracting work out. We will be using, you know, one of the big ones we have coming down, which will start delivering units in 26, 27, 28, is Emmett Road, the old St. Michael's Estate in Inchicore. And that is sort of a pilot for cost rental, where we'll be delivering 420 cost rental and about 120 social.
But you don't see a time when Dublin City Council will be employing more builders back to that old model you mentioned, in the 70s?
Not that type, but I do think that there are plenty of opportunities for us to expand that type of workforce in terms of our housing maintenance and being able to turn voids around and, you know, the basic service requests that come in. I think there are areas of efficiency, but there are also areas of expansion.
Okay, and just on dereliction, I mean, it's been in the headlines this week opposite the Coombe Hospital there. Everyone will have seen those pictures of that strip of derelict buildings. What more can you do in a situation like that?
Well, what the City Council are doing, again, another little piece that I'm introducing is we are working with other some funding agencies, and we're running two pilots in Dublin 1 and Dublin 8, and we're surveying the properties that have potential for us to come in and acquire, redo them in their entirety. And this is the whole living over the shop piece, because it's kind of a virtuous circle that if we have people living over the shops, it animate, and you have the street animation at ground level, gives that vitality and vibrancy that we need.
But if you don't own the property, how do you get them?
We can come in and compulsorily purchase them.
And will you do more of that?
Yes.
That is a definite plan?
Yep.
Whitewater rafting, on your agenda?
Nope. I said at a council meeting about a year and a half ago that it was dead in the water.
Right.
You know, it's dead in the water.
You were never in favour of it then, were you?
No. In fairness, Claire, I would have been all in favour of it. I think it was a very good idea.
Why?
I talked earlier about things for families to do in the city centre. It would have been great. You know what I mean? I've seen these in operation elsewhere. But the councillors were not particularly in favour of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
Not happening. Have you got an alternative plan?
No, but we've had 1,001 madcap ideas for George's Dock. We'll assess them. And at a particular point in time, we will probably go to the market to see.
Have you any ideas yourself, though? Anything that you prefer?
Well, we're going to be doing something with winter lights there this year, and we'll see how that works out and see how people take to it. But it probably is a space that's suitable to, you know, different animation across the year. Different types of animation across the year.
Okay, well, we'll try to decipher that, Richard. Thank you so much for coming in.
Not
the best of luck to you.
Thanks,
as CEO of Dublin City Council. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.